Good morning. My name is Jessa, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Uni-Select Inc. 2017 fourth quarter results conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw your question, please press the pound key. Thank you. Thank you. Monsieur Louis Junot, Chief Legal Officer and Corporate Secretary, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, Jessa. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the Uni-Select fourth quarter and year-end conference call. Presenting this morning are Henry Buckley, President and Chief Executive Officer, and Éric Bussières, Chief Financial Officer. Following their comments, we will open the call for questions. Joining us today for your questions are Steve Arnes, President and CEO of FinishMaster USA, Brent Windom, President and CEO of Automotive Canada, and Peter Sefton, President and CEO of the Parts Alliance. Please note that all documents referred to in today's conference call, including this webcast presentation, can be found on our website at uniselect.com in the Investors section. As noted on slide two, I would like to remind you about the caution regarding forward-looking statements, which is applied to our presentation and comments. All amounts are in U.S. dollar except as otherwise specified. Also note that we will refer to certain indicators that are non-IFRS measures, such as adjusted EBITDA, adjusted EPS, and free cash flow. These measures are defined and reconciled to the most comparable IFRS measure in our MD&A. With that, let me turn the call over to Henry.
Great. Thank you, Louis. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Please turn to page three. Our fourth quarter results were mixed, with our Canadian and U.K. operations performing well. As expected, our U.S. segment continuing to work through some challenges. On a consolidated basis, sales reached $415 million, up 42.6% over last year, and adjusted EBITDA was up 10.4% to $28 million, or a margin of 6.7%. During the quarter, we acquired three stores, opened two greenfield stores, and consolidated two stores. Now please turn to page four for details on FinishMaster US. Our fourth quarter results were disappointing. While the quarter started out well, the month of December was slower than usual and below our expectations. Sales were up 10.1% to $199 million, supported by business acquisitions, while organic growth was -2.1%, of which 1.5% was related to the product line changeover. In addition, EBITDA margin decreased 9.9%, impacted mainly by lower special buys, customer mix, higher medical benefits, as well as workers' compensation. Notwithstanding this, in the quarter, we consolidated two stores and continue to focus on driving profitable growth with specific initiatives to achieve long-term objectives and counterbalance some of our business challenges. We continue to drive our refinish business with both traditional and MSO customers while executing on our strategy to expand further into the industrial coatings business. We are seeing early signs of success for this initiative as we have secured some local and national accounts. We also focused on our 2020 initiatives in order to drive cost efficiencies going forward. For the year, we increased sales 8.2% to $815 million and had a negative organic growth of 6.9%, of which 6.1% was linked to the product line changeover. We also acquired 18 stores, consolidated 13 stores, and opened up three greenfield stores. We therefore finished the year with 212 stores. This past year was very challenging for FinishMaster considering the product line changeover, but with this issue mainly behind us, we are confident we can progressively return to positive organic growth as we move through the year. Now turning to Canada on page five. Our Canadian operations performed really well. Our fourth quarter sales were up 11.6% to $123 million, supported by 1.5% organic growth from the Canadian independent customers and corporate stores, or 5.9% after adjusting for the loss of one independent member at the beginning of the year. our underlying organic growth is strong across all regions. Our EBITDA margin reached 5.1% in line with last year. In the quarter, we continued the successful execution of our strategy. We acquired one business with three stores, pursued the rollout of the Bumper to Bumper and FinishMaster brands, as well as the deployment of our point-of-sale system, PartsWatch. We focused on improving our productivity and efficiency through the launch of various initiatives as part of the 2020 initiative. For the year, we are very proud of our results in Canada. Sales were up 9.1% to $485 million, supported by 3.9% organic growth. We also acquired 10 stores, consolidated one store, and opened up one greenfield store, finishing the year with 64 stores in total. Our Canadian team continues to be focused on building the foundation for the long term and is continually developing and building talent to support our growth. Now turning to our Parts Alliance UK segment on page 6. This was the first full quarter of results for this segment of our business. Our newly acquired UK operations did better than expected in a seasonally slow quarter. They reported sales of $93 million with a robust organic growth of 3.7% on a standalone basis, and their EBITDA was accretive on a consolidated basis. The integration with Uni-Select is progressing very well, and it's greatly facilitated by our strong cultural fit and team member engagement. In the quarter, we worked on securing supplier synergies, focused on integrating recent acquisitions in the network, and continued rolling out our telephony solution, catalog, and performance management systems. We also strengthened our management team with internal promotions and continued to find other opportunities for efficiency, cost control, and productivity through our 2020 initiative. With all this going on, we also managed to open up two greenfield stores. With a 7% market share in a fragmented market, this segment provides a significant runway for profitable growth. Now I'd like to turn the call over to Eric for the financial review.
Thank you, Henry. Good morning, everyone. As a reminder, Uni-Select results are impacted by seasonality. More specifically, our Canadian operations typically have a softer first and fourth quarter. As a result, margin in the second and third quarter tends to be at least 200 basis points higher than the first and the fourth quarter. Similarly, our UK operations typically have a softer third and fourth quarter. Consequently, margin in the first half of the year tends to be at least 200 basis points higher than the back half of the year. As it relates to FinishMaster, the first and fourth quarter tends to be softer, and the third quarter the strongest. It is important to take this seasonality into account when analyzing our results. Let me begin with our fourth quarter results on page 8. Consolidated sales for the fourth quarter reached $415 million, a 43% increase as compared to the $291 million last year. This increase was primarily driven by acquisition, notably the Parts Alliance. Excluding the product line changeover in the U.S. and the loss of an independent member in Canada at the beginning of the year, organic growth would have been approximately 1.9% on a consolidated basis. The Canadian Automotive segment reported sales of $123 million, an 11.6% increase versus the $110 million for the same period last year. This increase was primarily driven by recent business acquisition, favorable foreign exchange impact, and positive organic growth of 1.5% or 5.9% excluding the impact from the loss of the independent customer at the beginning of the year. FinishMaster U.S. segmented reported sales of $199 million, a 10% increase versus $181 million from the same period last year. This increase was primarily driven by acquisition and was partly offset by the negative organic growth of 2.1%, of which 1.5% was related to the product line changeover. The Parts Alliance UK segment reported its first full quarter since we acquired them in August. Recall that their two slowest months of the year are August and December. They reported sales of $93 million, which was actually better than what we had expected. Their results include an acquisition close in September and two greenfield opening in October. Please turn to page 9. Our fourth quarter consolidated EBITDA was $25.9 million versus $24.6 million for the same period last year. Adjusted EBITDA reached $28 million, or a margin of 6.7% compared to 25.4%, or a margin of 8.7% last year. While adjusted EBITDA increased on an absolute basis versus last year, the margin decreased by 200 basis points. In fact, 80 basis points of this decrease is explained by the Parts Alliance UK segment, which has a lower margin than our consolidated margin. The balance is explained mostly by the special buys and the evolving customer mix at FinishMaster. Please turn to page 10. In order to improve or maintain our adjusted EBITDA margin, as well as mentioned last quarter, we launched our 2020 initiatives. Recall that this initiative is expected to save $20 million of annualized operating costs by the end of 2020. The focus is on reducing our cost to serve by accelerating the capture of certain synergies linked to the various acquisitions, improve productivity level, and bring more variability into our cost structure. To date, we have identified approximately 60% of our target, which is specifically measurable activity, and we expect this number to reach 70% by the end of 2018. As a reminder, the Canadian Automotive Group and FinishMaster will be tracking those initiatives against the 2017 second quarter average operating costs, while the Parts Alliance UK will be tracking the savings against the third quarter of 2017. Since the beginning of the program, we realized approximately 50% of the annualized run rate savings from those various initiatives. Please turn to page 11. Net earnings for the quarter reached $8.7 million, or 21 cents per share, versus $12.7 million, or 30 cents per share last year. This decrease was mainly the result of higher financial expense and depreciation related to the recent business acquisition, coupled with $2.1 million of charges related to the Parts Alliance acquisition. These factors were partly compensated by the income tax rate, which decreased from 30.2% to 19.9% in the quarter, mainly due to a 2016 tax true-up recorded in 2017, and the tax savings in the U.S. following the reduction of the federal tax rates. Adjusted net earnings reached $11.6 million, or 27 cents per share, versus $13.1 million, or 31 cents per share last year. Now let's turn to our quarterly cash flow on page 12. We generated $46 million of cash flow from operating activities versus $55 million for the same period last year. This variation was driven by lower activity in the vendor financing program and a higher interest payment. As a result, we generated lower free cash flow for the quarter at $17 million as compared to $21 million last year. We used $7 million of the cash for acquisition, $5 million for CapEx, and $3 million for dividends. Please now turn to page 13. At the end of the year, our outstanding total net debt stood at $418 million as compared to $439 million at the end of the last quarter, a reduction of $21 million. The funded debt to adjusted EBITDA ratio stood at 3.56 times at the end of December. Pro forma for the Parts Alliance acquisition, the ratio would be 3.04 compared to 3.14 at the end of Q3. I would like to point out that this reduction was achieved even with the tuck-in acquisition that was closed and funded during the fourth quarter. Having said that, we expect leverage to go back up in the first quarter due to seasonality and timing of certain cash flow, as experienced in the prior years. At the end of the quarter, we had $193 million available under our credit facility. Let me now provide a quick overview of 2017 results on page 14. Consolidated sales for 2017 increased by 21% to $1.4 billion, primarily driven by acquisitions. Excluding the product line changeover, the hurricane in the U.S., and the loss of an independent member in Canada at the beginning of the year, our organic growth would have been approximately 2.4%. EBITDA for the year reached $111 million as compared to $107 million last year. Adjusted EBITDA increased by 9.2% to $118 million, or 8.1% of sales, as compared to $108 million, or 9% of sales last year. Net earnings for the year reached $44.6 million, or $1.06 per share, as compared to $58.3 million, or $1.37 per share. Adjusted net earnings reached $55 million, or $1.30 per share, versus $59 million, or $1.39 per share last year. Now let's turn to our annual cash flow on page 15. We generated $124 million of cash flow from operating activities versus $134 million for the same period last year. This decrease was driven by the same factor as in the fourth quarter, in addition to higher income tax payment and acquisition costs relating to the Parts Alliance. We generated lower free cash flow for the year at $96 million as compared to $107 million last year, driven by lower cash from operating activities coupled with higher CapEx. We used $362 million of cash for acquisition, $14 million for CapEx, and $12 million for dividends. This completes my financial review. I now turn the call over to Henry.
Great. Thank you, Eric. Before we open up the line for questions, we'd like to provide some guidance on certain items for 2018. For the year 2018, on a consolidated basis, we anticipate a positive organic sales growth of between 2.25% to 4%. We anticipate a consolidated adjusted EBITDA margin of between 7.2% to 8.2%. We expect investments to be between $26 million and $29 million for vehicle fleet, hardware equipment, software, and other. This guidance is based on a set of assumptions we have made. The complete list of these assumptions is described in our press release. In terms of organic growth expectations by business, at finished semester, we expect organic sales to grow progressively through the year and average between 2 and 4% for the year. For the Canadian Automotive Group, we expect organic sales to grow between 2.5 and 4%. For the Parts Alliance UK segment, we expect organic sales to be between 3 and 4%. We continue to see many opportunities to add select acquisitions and open up additional greenfields. We have a solid track record of bringing greenfields to profitability in a reasonable time frame, noting that greenfield stores put temporary pressure on our margins. Finally, we would also like to mention that following the U.S. tax reform, we are anticipating a favorable impact on our tax rate going forward from about 38% to approximately 24.5%, including state taxes. On a consolidated basis, we expect our effective tax rate to be approximately 22 to 24%. To conclude, we have a great foundation for growth in our businesses and are laser focused on doing what is required to enhance results. We do not foresee any transformational acquisitions as our focus is on execution. As such, in 2018, we are looking forward to continued solid performances from our Canadian and UK operations and a gradual improvement from our FinishMaster US segment. This concludes our presentation. We're now ready to answer your questions. Jessa, could you please open the lineup for the questions, please?
Certainly. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Leon Agazarian from National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Leon.
Yeah, just on the first question would be on FinishMaster USA. I mean, margins obviously were lower considerably from a year-over-year perspective, even from a quarter-to-quarter perspective. I appreciate the fact that there's seasonality, but can you just give us a little bit more color as to, you know, what led to the, you know, the 200 basis point drop? And just some details around that would be helpful, please.
Yeah, I'm going to give this to Eric to help us with the margin side of it.
Yeah, so, as we pointed out, there's the seasonality element to it. There's also some additional cost linked to medical and work compensation that represent closely to 52 basis points of impact on the margin of FinishMaster. And the balance is a number of items, and amongst others, the fact that we did not benefit from a lot of special buy during the quarter.
So, could you help me understand that? Like, what do you mean by lower special buy? Is that normally you would get more discounts on some products and then you didn't this quarter, or just kind of how are we supposed to interpret that?
Yeah, so, Leon, if you think back the last few years, we've qualified our margins at FinishMaster, and we've said, we've got greater than expected margins, and we've qualified it lots of times by the fact that we've had special buys. So those are special buys offered by manufacturers. They're not consistent. They happen when they happen. And our view is always to take advantage of those special buys when we possibly can. And in the fourth quarter of 2017, we didn't have that many special buys. So it is a delta from what we've seen in other quarters.
The other element, Leon, is the revenue mix. It is evolving, as the MSOs become a larger share of the portfolio. And that's part of the reason we're having the 2020 initiatives across the three businesses.
So is that primarily like the lower special buys? Is that primarily due to the fact that suppliers are squeezing out? I mean, do they not want to, give up more margins in that sense, or is that just kind of a one-off in the quarter, or do you expect that to be kind of more of a trend where you're not going to see any more special buys going forward?
Well, I mean, we don't know the answer to that, quite frankly. I mean, we haven't seen as many in the last couple quarters, quite frankly. And, it's not up to us. It's up to the manufacturers. That's not a strategy we know or can control. Our view is that if there's special buys out there and it makes sense, we'll take advantage of that. If there isn't, then we operate our business as normal. So no more complicated than that.
I appreciate the color on the guidance. I think that's quite helpful. And you give the segmented breakdown for organic growth. Would it be possible to get, I mean, your segmented view on the EBITDA margin? I'm just trying to get a sense of how are you getting to the 7.2 to 8.2% range.
Leon, is very, very, very scientific is how we get to that. So the answer to the question is we're not giving EBITDA guidance for our Canadian and U.S. segments, but we have given guidance on the U.K. And we've given guidance because it was a brand-new transformational acquisition. There was questions last quarter about where we are with that, and I'll reiterate that, by the way. So, you know, we said that, you know, there was a number of things we needed to do in Q3 and Q4, and you've seen our margins in Q3 and Q4 in the U.K. reflect the cost changes we've taken to the business. We reduced the cost base by about £3 million, and we took the associated severance and costs in Q3 and Q4 2017. We said that the business we acquired generates 7.5% EBITDA margin. That still holds 100% true. Remember, there's seasonality, and you know Eric mentioned it in his commentary. We mentioned it in the UK. We mentioned it in the last call. Q3 and Q4 are seasonally slowest quarters. So you couple that with the changes we had to make, you see why we had the, you know, the sort of circa 4% number. The annualized, now this, I'm trying to look at 2018 only now, right? 2018, our expectation is 7.5%, and the only dilution from that we see is our investments in our greenfield locations. So that's a purposeful choice we're making to invest in those greenfields as opposed to necessarily acquiring. We'll always look at both those options, but when we open up a greenfield, that will be dilutive to that margin. So that's the only discount to it. Our expectations and how we're tracking, how the business normally tracks, is at that 7.5% rate, and that's where we are for it. So that's the guidance we're going to give for the UK. But again, we're not providing EBITDA guidance at the FinishMaster and Canada segment levels.
Okay, that's helpful. And one final one for me would just be, I mean, you mentioned in your prepared remarks that you're not anticipating making any more transformational acquisitions, and given your balance sheet, I mean, and the share price, would you consider getting more active on the buyback?
Not at this point. I think, you know, we never say never, but the reality is, you know, we're highly focused on having the balance between making sure we take on the right tuck-in acquisitions in all of our business. We have the tuck-in acquisitions in Canada specifically, in the UK specifically. If the right one comes up at FinishMaster, we'll certainly look at it. But, you know, what we're saying right now is that we're focused on the core business and executing it. You know, let's face it, last year in FinishMaster, we got distracted by the product line changeover. That was a big event for us. So we're doubling down our business in the U.S. in particular, making sure we drive organic growth in the underlying business today. That product line changeover is behind us. We just don't want to get any further distractions. Now, you know, having said all this, if something transformational comes up, you know, who knows? But that's not our focus today. That's not something we're looking for.
Thank you. I'll jump back in the queue.
Thanks, Leon.
Your next question comes from the line of Benoit Poirier from Desjardins Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much, and good morning, gentlemen. Eric, could you come back a little bit on the BIPs that were impacted with the employee benefits for FinishMaster? I've heard about 50 BIPs. Am I right?
That is correct, Benoit. So the combination of the medical and the work comps hit their margins by about 52 basis points at FinishMaster compared to the 2016 behavior.
Okay, and are there some other non-recurring items that we should remove when looking at Q4? So far, there's only $2.1 million, but any also expectation for Q1 and 2018?
Well, as it relates to Q4, we had a little bit of severance, so that's a couple of bips, but it's under 25 basis points in terms of impact. And as we said, as we tailor the cost-to-serve model, we'll continue to do those activities to optimize the business.
Okay. And any other non-recurring items to be recorded in Q1 or 2018?
In Q1, nothing of significance, and it's too early if there would be something down the road as we evolve in our analysis of cost-to-serve. And if that's the case, then we'll certainly share that with you as we see it evolving. But at this point, I don't see that.
Okay. And now looking at 2018, what is your assumption related to the opening of Greenfield location? and what would be the margin profile of Parts Alliance once you take into account the opening of a greenfield location? Because it seems that the 7.5% excludes the opening or the dilution that would come from the opening of greenfield locations.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Benoit. That's precisely it. You know, our expectation, first of all, is to open up greenfield locations. We've announced two so far this year. So we announced two last week. So that's a great news story. And I think as we talked about when we were all together in the UK, we have a model where we can bring up these greenfields to profitability in a reasonable amount of time. So it's not like, you know, we're having to wait a very long time, but it's a choice on our part to make sure we make that investment where it makes sense to build out the network. So as you look at the underlying business at 7.5%, our choice is to do that, and it'll be dilutive depending on how many greenfield locations we set up. But, you know, we're not talking about, you know, 200 basis points here. We're talking about some level of dilution. These are small branches. These aren't, you know, massive locations.
Okay, perfect. And on the paint side, looking at the manufacturers, they are dealing with an increase in raw materials. So to me, it seems that it bodes well for a pricing increase throughout the year. So I was just wondering if you would expect some special purchase as they are increasing pricing, and whether it could provide a slight bump in terms of organic growth on the paint side.
Well, I mean, I think this is a very standard answer, and I don't mean to give it, you know, homogenous, but anytime we have price increases in any of our businesses, we're always going to make sure we buy fast-moving product in advance of those price increases. The more notice we get, the better we like it. So we're always going to do that. So, you know, I think there's likely going to be some price increases. Steve, maybe you could put color on that. I mean, we don't know. It's up to the manufacturers, really.
No, Benoit, you said it, you know, correctly, is that there is pressure on raw materials. So we have not budgeted for additional than the historic rates we get, but you would think that there could be some advantages for us in 2018.
Yeah, we'll leave that up to manufacturers. So we're happy. Like we said, in all businesses, we don't mind price increases at all. We can typically pass those along. At FinishMaster, you know, I'd say they're more sticky with the traditional customers and less sticky with the MSOs, but again, that's something more for the manufacturers to deal with.
Okay, perfect. And looking at MSOs, Henry, what would be the total percentage of revenues on the paint side that comes from MSO? And I understand the big impact on the gross margin, but the cost to serve the MSO is also different. So if you could provide some color on the discrepancy in terms of margins or at least the percentage of revenue that come from MSO and whether you would expect the number to go up in 2018.
Yeah, so let me answer this in two parts. One is that, you know, the revenue for MSOs is sort of sub 40%. That's been the case. It's been growing. So it's, without a doubt, if you go back a couple of years, it was probably mid-30s, 34, and it's been creeping up towards the 40 mark, but it's still sub 40. So we are seeing a larger mix from the MSOs, and that's, you know, sort of reflective of the entire market. So we've got a very good share of the MSOs. We love that customer segment, but we equally love the traditional customers. So we're not differentially focused on either one of them, quite frankly. The second part of that answer, I'd say, is, you know, the one thing that we need to really make sure we adapt to and evolve with is our cost to serve. And we've talked about that for quite some time. We've done some very good jobs in making sure we modify our service levels to fit the requirements of the MSOs that are different than some of those traditional customers. So as we've modified that over the last number of years, we've been able to enjoy sort of reasonable operating margins at the bottom line level. I think what we're saying today is that we're going to take the next step change in how we service those customers. So we're looking to reinvent ourselves in terms of how we deliver exceptional service to those MSOs, but also really truly reduce that cost to serve. So we don't have the answer for that today, but I can tell you we're highly focused on making sure that we set the business up for the future and are enabled to drive the bottom line profitability in an environment where there is larger, more MSO business in our customer mix. So that's a big, big focus for what we're up to, and you'll see probably more. We'll give you more on that as we evolve through the course of this year.
Okay, thanks for the time, and I'll get back in the queue. Thanks.
Thanks, Benoit.
Your next question comes from the line of Michael Glenn from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, good morning. Just in terms of the segmented breakdown on the margin, can you give some idea corporate cost in 2018? I think it was $11 million in 2017. What that line item might look like in 18?
I'll give this to Eric, our chief of corporate costs.
So Michael, we anticipate for corporate costs something similar that we experienced in 2017 through 2018. So it should be in the same ballpark.
Okay, thanks. And then just the $26 to $29 million number you gave, that's CapEx, right?
Yes, yeah, so that's CapEx, but CapEx including, and it's important to understand that, right? So it includes intangibles on the software side, because as you know, Parts Alliance and even in the two other businesses, we do invest on the software, and therefore there is an element of capital expenditure linked that is treated as intangibles. And more importantly, there is the car fleet leases that we invest not an insignificant amount of money every year for the three businesses. We have a pretty large fleet of automotive that needs to be refreshed on a regular basis. So you need to look at those three factors to come to the number that I provided you. And just for clarity, Michael, in 2017, when you combine those three numbers, you actually get close to $23, $24 million that we spent in 2017.
Yeah, with
okay.
The year of Parts Alliance in the family too. So.
Okay, and then on the cash flow statement as well, the you have that line item advanced to merchant members. That's been sort of creeping a bit higher. Would you anticipate a similar level of advances in 18 versus 17?
Yeah, it is a similar level, but the other factor you need to look or think about is we typically reinvest 2.25% to 2.5% of Finish Master top line into those type of investments to customers. Roughly, that's sort of the rule of thumb. So, as you grow your business, you will invest a little bit more. Now, from a run rate perspective, I think that's the best assumptions you could make.
Okay, and then the 2 to 4% organic growth at Finish Master. Can you break down some of the elements as to how we get there? I think price increases is one of those, but what are some of the other elements that you're including in that assumption? You don't have to quantify it, but just to highlight them.
So Michael, this is Steve. You know, price increase is definitely one of them, but it's the new customer acquisition that we do every single year in the vehicle refinish business. And it's growth out of the industrial segment that we've been talking about for several quarters that is up to speed. And as Henry stated in the opening comments, that we've seen some good acquisition of not only national customers but local customers.
Okay. And then just one final. How would you describe the competitive environment in the automotive refinish market right now?
It is very competitive. It hasn't. I can say it's changed, but it hasn't changed. I mean, it is a very competitive market out there with some very good regional distributors. We've got private equity into the space now. It's competitive, but we've got the number one spot, and we continue to grow that and continue to hold down our spot.
Yeah, and, you know, Michael, let me add on to that. You know, at the end of the day, it is a competitive market, always has been. You know, we haven't seen any major differences this year. We've private equity's bought a couple, you know, players, but that's not made any, you know, significant difference at this point. Really, it's up to us. And this is my earlier remarks here is, you know, we got distracted last year, right? Our job number one last year was to get that product line changeover to the highest conversion rate possible. So that was, you know, you take a lot of focus and time and effort from your sales force and your business to make that conversion. And, you know, I think we lost a little bit of mojo, we call it, on our current accounts. And we've got that mojo back now. We need to sort of accelerate that through the course of the year. So when I talk about our focus for that business, it's really about making sure we serve and deliver great service to all of our current customers, you know, go after them and do a very, very good job of making sure we retain and grow the business. With current customers, we've got a very good pipeline of new account opportunities, so we're going to make sure we focus on execution. That's our job number one at FinishMaster this year. And that's why we're saying we're looking for progressive results. So I don't expect, you know, the calendar page to turn and then we ramp up to the number we'd like to be at. We're seeing progressive improvements. That's our plan for the course of 2018. So that's kind of the environment we're in. We're in number one position in the marketplace, and, you know, we're going to make sure we capitalize on that and continue to do what's right to serve customers.
Okay, thanks for the questions, guys.
Great, thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jonathan Lammers from BMO Capital Market. Please go ahead.
Hey, Jonathan.
Good morning. On the lower special buys, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but were those special buys in the prior year offered from the same manufacturer that's been looking to revise the discount structure it offers to the distributors?
For us, special buys are general. We get from multiple manufacturers, so there's no specifics there. It's just a matter of we get special buys offered on various manufacturers.
Okay, thanks. And on FinishMaster, splitting hairs a bit, but I saw the organic sales growth guidance range was changed a little bit.
Yeah.
To include a lower low end. Could you just update us on your efforts to add a second line to the stores that have only been offering one line and sort of how that's been progressing? And are there still stores that are only offering one line today?
Yeah, first of all, yes, your stores only offer one line today. And, you know, that's always for us a very, very delicate balance. We've got great relationships with, we'll name them. We've got great relationships with Exalta. We have great relationships with PPG. We've been with these folks for a very, very long time. We're highly dedicated to partnering with them in all the markets we're in. You know, what the challenge for us is, there's some markets where they're already coupled with another partner, and we get that. So if areas where we've lost our, I'll say the name again, PSF, where we're no longer distributing that product line, that leaves a void in some of our branches. And, you know, if there's areas, for example, where Exalta and PPG, are currently with other partners, then we have an opportunity then to add another line, which is Akzo Nobel, which we already have, by the way, in a host of locations across the U.S. through a lot of our acquisitions over the last few years. So we now have a sizable business with them regardless. But this is an opportunity for us to fill in those locations so we're able to service more customers in those markets. So for us, it's a very complementary strategy. We never would think of taking business away from our Exalta PPG partners. We love and cherish those relationships. It's just a matter of balancing out markets where we don't have the opportunity to distribute their lines. How can we, you know, service more customers with another line like Akzo Nobel, who are, by the way, another great manufacturer. So I think we're very, very fortunate to have a great stable of partners.
Okay, so for the guidance, can you tell, do you know already that you'll be able to add that second line to the stores that are only carrying one line? Is that baked into your guidance?
Well, I mean, we've obviously got a game plan, with our branches for a second line where it's appropriate. So we absolutely have that detailed plan, and we're in the process of executing accordingly. And again, we do so in alignment with all our manufacturers. So.
Okay, great.
This is not a guess. We've been working on this for a long time. So this is not something we just thought of as the calendar turns. This is underway.
Okay, and just switching gears to the Canadian business, can you just update us on where you are with the investments, the rollout of the bumper-to-bumper brand and the PartsWatch rollout? How many more quarters will see the investments there in terms of, on the expense line?
Yeah, I think, Brent, why don't you on a general, we've got a couple things going on. We've got bumper-to-bumper rollout to our independents, so maybe touch on that one first.
Well, from an independent standpoint, we're probably 95% complete. And on the corporate store side, as we continue to buy stores, they'll be part of our branding strategy, and the investment strategy will go with that. So in each one of the business performances as we do the acquisitions, we'll continue to see a bumper-to-bumper rollout for the balance of the year. And we'll also have PartsWatch. We will continue to invest in that as we really through Q3.
Yeah.
The balance of the year, and then that'll go well.
I think, you know, we spent a lot of time through 17 putting parts watch in. We're very happy with it. In fact, we're already in upgrades to it. You know, not costly upgrades, but upgrade to make sure we get the functionality right. So that rollout continues. And as we acquire stores, you know, we still got it's a more of a continuous journey there. But the majority of that wave, I call it, to put our initial stores up, that'll be behind us, as Brent says, by sort of Q3, Q4. We're taking the reasonable pace at it to make sure we do it right.
Right.
Okay, great. And just two questions for Eric. One, on the taxes, you know, I noticed you highlighted the investments that you're making. Do you have any guidance for us on cash taxes going forward following U.S. tax reform?
Well, I mean, the effective tax rate will be between 24 and 25%. And as we mentioned, for the U.S., we have very, very little tax losses left, if any, to offset. So, I mean, the tax cash will equal basically statutory tax rate.
Okay, thanks. And just circling back on one of the earlier comments where you said that the effective severance in Q4 was under 25 basis points year over year, is that exclusively in the FinishMaster segment?
That was for FinishMaster. Obviously, for Parts Alliance, that number is actually a little bit lower, but it's similar. So it's, both businesses are in the same range. There was a bit of activity in Canada also around.
Okay, thanks for your comments.
If there are any additional questions at this time, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Elizabeth Johnston from Laurentian Bank Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
Just going back to the Parts Alliance and your slide deck, you mentioned cost corrections that were taken, completed by the end of December. Can you give us a sense of how much of those corrections, and I think you did highlight about £3 million worth, how much of those came in Q3 versus the Q4 period?
Oh, I would say it's certainly skewed more towards Q4, Elizabeth. There was a little bit, but not much in Q3. The bulk of it was in Q4.
Yeah, we only had 7 weeks of operating in Q3, so... Yeah, it's very much in line with what we talked about in the UK and what we've talked about in the last call, is that, you know, we've taken that target of £3 million and removed it from the business, and we're in great shape right now in terms of that cost base. So we're set to roll forward.
So will there be any additional of these types of costs in 2018 then?
Well, we'll always continue to optimize the businesses as we see fit. But, you know, there will be a little bit of, as I mentioned on my 2020, there's an additional 10% that we've identified in 2016, which brings us to the 60%. And some of this is a mix of productivity measurements and some cost efficiency. So there will be additional elements, but not necessarily purely on workforce.
And speaking of the 2020 initiative, can you give us a sense, can you quantify somehow the benefit that you've seen so far that we expect to see flow through 2018, either in terms of a dollar value or in basis points on EBITDA margin? Just trying to get a sense of what this means going forward and what kind of benefit we should expect to see longer term.
Well, if you think about Parts Alliance per se, for instance, when you look at our year-to-date results in 2017, you saw that we had margins roughly around 4% EBITDA. If you remove £3 million from that run rate, what you'll see is about 85 basis point pickup linked to that $3 million activity that has been completed. So that's part of the reason why we are confident that Parts Alliance margins for the year will over around 7.5%, as Henry mentioned, and there will be some dilution with Greenfield as we open them. And to the question that was asked earlier, you know, we'll inform you along the way. Opening Greenfield is a matter of execution, timing, when you open it. You may open two in one quarter, maybe three in another quarter, so it's very very variable and hard to say when you start the year about what is the expected impact for the entire year.
And in terms of those initiatives in other segments, can you comment there?
We're not going to, you know, sort of go 2020 by segment, but, you know, I think what Eric said earlier was, you know, we're already seeing a very significant portion of the 2020 initiatives benefits already coming through. So we're making great progress on that. But what we don't want to do is start to drill down into each segment on the 2020. We have detailed plans by segment, but that's something we're clearly not going to want to, you know, put out in the market.
Okay.
The one at Parts Alliance was obvious, so we're happy to, you know, discuss that one.
Okay, great. And just turning to FinishMaster and the impact there in terms of the product line changeover on organic growth, I would expect that we've now fully lapped that. Do you have any expectation for further headwinds in 2018?
No. No, that ended at the end of the year. So, we're not looking for any excuses. We're being very transparent. That's exactly what it was. You saw the impact in Q4. It was as we talked about in the last two quarters, it started to wane over the last two quarters. And as we come into the year, we're clean. So it's up to us.
It's
all on us now.
Okay. And finally for me, just in terms of Canada EBITDA margin, I'm looking at the history versus this year versus a couple of years ago and the overall organic growth rate we talked about in the past. You know, when you have higher organic growth, it does benefit your margin. I would have expected a higher margin this year, but maybe you can help me walk me through the differential there. Is it from the customer loss, which is impacting margin here, investment in corporate stores and bumper-to-bumper side? Is it those things that I should be factoring in here?
Well, so let me just take the customer loss first, and then we'll talk about the margin. So, I even hate mentioning the one in Canada because it came up in Q1. It was a sizable number. I just mentioned it for Q4. And I only mentioned it in Q4 because before they left, it sort of ended their contract January 1st or December 31st of last year, they loaded up their inventory. So it had a disproportional effect on 2016 December or fourth quarter of 2016. So when we look at our results in Canada, you know, we reported 1.5%, but really the underlying business is generating 5.9%. So it was skewed. That's why I even hated to mention that one customer loss. Now I think when you look at the EBITDA margins, our goal has always been stated is we're going to, you know, continue to grow this EBITDA margin as we move forward, right? Without a doubt. So we're not exactly, you know, thrilled with where the EBITDA margin is today. Our plan is significantly higher over time. So I think there's lots of stuff at play in terms of the cost side right now. The Parts Watch implementation is certainly one of it. We've made some investments in the corporate stores ahead of the curve to make sure we get the right leadership team in place. We're doing the right cost implementations as we migrate to the bumper-to-bumper program. So there's investments that go on there. And I'd say we have more work to do in Canada on the cost side. And Brent is currently all and his team are all over this. So we couldn't be happier with the progress we're making in Canada. And our outlook is, you know, progressively better as time marches on.
Yeah, and maybe some color, Elizabeth, on seasonality. You know, we believe and expect that seasonality cycles will be actually a little bit higher and lower between the quarters in Canada as we grow in their stores business because you're sort of adding the same type of revenue profile. So the cyclicality might be a little bit higher from a seasonal standpoint from quarters to quarters than what we've experienced in the past. And that's something that we're paying a lot of attention to because that would translate into having a Q1 and Q4 that has lower margins historically but higher margins in Q2 and Q4 that oversets and overwrite or offset, if you want, your lower margin of Q1
and Q4. 2 and 3, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's something that we're sort of seeing more and more, and part of the reason why we wanted to clarify or help the market better understand the seasonality aspect of Canada and the businesses.
So just run me through again, though, why is it more cyclical? Why do you expect it to be more cyclical?
You're adding more revenue of the same kind, right? And you're having fixed costs associated with your stores. So as revenue passes the breaking point, so to speak, you're going to get higher margins. And as you have lower revenue because of seasonality, well, you're going to have a more punitive impact on your margins. That's all I'm seeing.
Okay.
Yeah, you get the benefits. For us, you get the benefits in the seasonally strong quarters, and you get sort of amplified, impact on the slower quarters. And I think that's all Eric is saying. That's what we looked at in the business today. And if you looked at what happened last year, you know, we had a soft Q1, and then we had a great Q2 in Canada. I don't expect it to be, you know, that much different as we go in because seasonality is seasonality. And we've had it historically in the Canadian business forever. You know, and it's the nature of our business. Now we're talking about seasonality at Parts Alliance. We got seasonality in Canada. It's slightly less, but we do still have some seasonality, you know, particularly in this lower fourth quarter for FinishMaster, which is, you know, not unnatural for a lot of businesses.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Benoit Poirier from Desjardins Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. With respect to your balance sheet, you ended the year almost close to three. I was just wondering, going throughout 2018, obviously the focus is on the integration. You might be looking for some tuck-in. So any flexibility you feel you have to perform those tuck-in, and where would you like to see your debt EBITDA toward the end of 2018?
Well, as we indicated back in November, Benoit, we have a plan to deleverage over a period of 24 to 36 months under 2.5 times debt to EBITDA, right? So that's one element, and it will be progressive. The other question, which is an interesting, we'll always try to strike the balance between acquisition and deleveraging, and I think Q4 is a great example. We did an acquisition. We invested about $7 million, but we managed to decrease our leverage at the same time. And as you all know, our Q1 is the most demanding from a cash flow perspective because we invest on inventory, and we have some more cash outflow in Q1 than any other quarters, especially in the game side of the business. So, you know, that's why I'm saying that their leverage will go back up in Q1. It is expected. As you know, we burn cash in Q1, we make up most of it in Q2, and then we're cash positive in Q3, Q4, historically speaking. So I expect similar patterns. And it's just a balance, right? The right opportunity at the right time for a tuck-ins will justify for us to make that investment. But we are also very focused on deleveraging over time.
Okay. And with respect to the loss of your independent jobber, could you mention some color about the expectation for Q1, whether you expect some impact and maybe if you could quantify?
Yeah. None whatsoever.
No, that happened, obviously, the end of 2016, so we've now lapped that one as well. The impact was just in the fourth quarter because of their load up, which is, you know, sort of abnormal. So, no, we're you know, progressing nicely in Q1. There's no impact of that member loss. And, you know,
okay.
let me reiterate to everyone, because, you know, we're trying to be very transparent here. I've said all the way along in Canada, as we changed the network a little bit, you know, we had a couple of customers that were really acting more like competitors, right? And we've said for the last 3 years, I said these are going to probably change over time. So there's still the possibility of making another significant change, higher impact on sales, very low impact on margin. So I want to make sure that we're clearing that. It's always a possibility. Don't have everything planned at this point, but that's where we are. The last one wasn't, a surprise to us, and I want to make sure we're all on the same page here.
Okay, and could you comment also about the initiative with industrial paint, whether you see still some opportunities in 2018, and could you comment about the ramp-up of the industrial paint initiative?
Yeah, so Benoit, the ramp-up mainly went in place for infrastructure in 2017. We did gain some sales in 2017, but really, the initiative right now is doubling down on the sales. We've got product in the store. We've got people hired. We've got a plan in place. So really looking forward to the increase in sales on that side. And Henry did say, I think I said it once already, that we have signed some national customers and local customers already. So it is moving forward as we expected so far in 2018.
Okay. And on the paint side, could you talk a little bit about the initiatives you put in place to restore the organic growth? I know there's been some distraction given the product line changeover, but just wondering what did you put in place to restore the organic growth?
So we have a very robust plan in place, no different than we've had every year, but as we said, it's really about execution. It's really about focus, focusing on the customers we have, making sure we retain the customers we have. We've got a great track record of a solid pipeline and converting that pipeline into actual customers. So once again, it's focus and execution that on the vehicle refinish side that will create that organic growth.
Okay, and last one for me. Could you talk a little bit about the range? Obviously, the EBITDA margin is between 7.2 to 8.2. What would bring you to the low end or the high end? So, what kind of assumptions you're making that, or what could happen that could bring you toward the low or the high end of the range?
Benoit, as any businesses, you have some peak and valleys, and you know, I got three segments, so. the question you're asking is almost impossible to answer, and that's why we're providing a range.
I think at the end of the day also, remember, you know, we removed guidance a couple of years ago, so we're trying to be very transparent and very helpful in terms of our business. We're helping you with, you know, a range on the EBITDA side for consolidated, and we're helping you with organic growth. So all we're trying to be here is provide, you know, high-level guidance for the business.
Okay. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you, Benoit.
Thanks, Benoit.
Your next question comes from the line of Carolina Jolly from Gabelli. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning.
Hey, Carolina.
Morning. So just quickly, could you kind of expand on some of the factors affecting organic growth in FinishMaster, excluding that product line changeover? Is it market related? Because there just seems to be some spread between this quarter's organic growth and some of what the numbers the suppliers were giving out.
Well, I think what we mentioned and, is that the team got distracted by focusing on the product line changeover, and that had a side effect on our existing customer base and how we go to market. And when we say we are focusing on execution and doubling down on that aspect is to recover from those distractions. There's nothing much more to explain than that.
Yeah, it's up to us at the end of the day. That's just, you know, there's opportunity for us to continue to accelerate growth, and we'll just make sure we're doubling down on our focus on execution. I don't think it's any more complicated than that.
Great, and I guess that means that you see clear pathways of how you're going to do that to get to the more positive 2-4%.
But the business certainly has some very, very robust plan, as Steve alluded to, and that plan goes all the way to customer level, customer by customer.
All right, thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I turn the call back over to the presenters.
Great. Thank you so much, Jessa. Really appreciate it. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We really appreciate all your questions and looking forward to updating you on our progress during our next quarterly call. Thanks, everyone, and have a great day.
Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.